In your pew Bibles in the Old Testament. My God, why have you abandoned me? I have cried desperately for help, but still it does not come. During the day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. I call at night, but get no rest. But you are enthroned as the Holy One, the one whom Israel praises. Our ancestors put their trust in you. They trusted you and you saved them. They called to you and escaped from danger. They trusted you and were not disappointed. But I am no longer a man. I am a worm, despised and scorned by everyone. All who see me jeer at me. They stick out their tongues and shake their heads. You relied on the Lord, they say. Why doesn't he save you? If the Lord likes you, why doesn't he help you? It was you who brought me safely through birth. And when I was a baby, you kept me safe. I have relied on you since the day I was born, and you have always been my God. Do not stay away from me. Trouble is near, and there is no help, no one to help. Many enemies surround me like bulls. They are all round me, like fierce bulls from the land of Bashan. They open their mouths like lions, roaring and tearing at me. My strength is gone like water spilt on the ground. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like melted wax. My throat is as dry as dust, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have left me for dead in the dust. A gang of evil men is round me. Like a pack of dogs, they close in on me. They tear at my hands and feet. All my bones can be seen. My enemies look at me and stare. They gamble for my clothes and divide them among themselves. O Lord, do not stay away from me. Come quickly to my rescue. Save me from the sword. Save my life from these dogs. Rescue me from these lions. I am helpless before these wild bulls.
Let us pray. Our God, why is it that so often you reveal yourself to us only by your hiddenness? Our God, why is it that you allow this man to suffer so alone and seemingly unheard, even as he cried out to you in his anguish? Our God, he was jeered at, ridiculed, and felt as though you had left him for dead in the dust. Our God, why did he feel so certain that you had abandoned him? As we reflect on the mystery of Good Friday, help us to catch a glimpse of what you have accomplished for us in and as Jesus Christ. Amen.
My God, why have you abandoned me? Psalm 22, like so many of the Psalms, speak of human suffering and of a God who seems absent or uncaring. It is this all too common experience of God that so often drives people of faith to anguish, to deep questioning of the purposes and goodness of God, and sometimes even to questioning the very existence of God, and thus even to despair and the abandonment of faith altogether. My God, why have you abandoned me? One human response is to deny the reality of suffering, to say that it's only our desires that cause us to suffer when good things fail to materialize in our lives. And therefore the solution is that we should rid ourselves of all desire so as to make ourselves undisappointable and thus unhurtable. The religious expression of this is the Buddha, utterly serene, empty of all desire, and therefore empty of love, and in this way, impervious to disappointment and hurt. And for some people, this has appeal. Another response is to deny the goodness of God, to say that the God who has created this world must be an evil and uncaring monster, utterly indifferent to our need and utterly unworthy of our devotion. Or alternatively, to deny the existence of God altogether, to say that there is no God at all and that the universe is utterly indifferent and uncaring concerning our desire, our need, and our pain. The philosophical expression of this is atheism. But the person who chooses to believe that God is an evil monster or that there is no God at all still has as much of a problem with the reality of human suffering as does the person who believes that God is good. If we deny the existence of God or that God is good, we don't get rid of human suffering. All we do is suffer on our own. Suffer so utterly alone in the universe and without hope. My God, why have you abandoned me? Psalm 22 was written by David, who was clearly in a very bleak place when he wrote this psalm. I've cried desperately for help, but still it does not come. I'm despised and scorned by everyone. Many enemies surround me. They open their mouths like lions, roaring and tearing at me. My strength is gone. My heart is melted like wax, and you've left me for dead in the dust. My enemies look at me and stare. They gamble for my clothes and divide them among themselves. They say, if God likes you, why doesn't he help you? My God, why have you abandoned me? We are physical, spiritual, social beings, and so we suffer on many levels, physically, as our bodies experience injury, disease, and age, emotionally, as people reject and ridicule us, and spiritually, when we experience God only by God's seeming absence or silence. As I read Psalm 22, I wonder, what word of consolation may have made a difference for David? I wonder what word may have given him some new insight that would have enabled him to bear up under his suffering, or given him some hope that despite what seemed like God's absence, that in truth, God really was at this very moment nearer to him than he could have ever imagined. My God, why have you abandoned me?
Our next reading is from Matthew chapter 27, verses 27 to 46, and you'll find that on page 42 of the New Testament. Then Pilate's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's palace, and the whole company gathered round him. They stripped off his clothes and put a scarlet robe on him. Then they made a crown out of thorny branches and placed it on his head, and put a stick in his right hand. Then they knelt before him and mocked him. "Long live the King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him and took the stick and hit him over the head. When they had finished mocking him, they took the robe off and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine mixed with a bitter substance, but after tasting it, he would not drink it. They crucified him and then divided his clothes among them by throwing dice. After that, they sat there and watched him. Above his head, they put the written notice of the accusation against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then they crucified two bandits with Jesus, one on his right and the other on his left. People passing by shook their heads and hurled insults at Jesus. "You were going to tear down the temple and build it up again in 3 days. Save yourself if you are God's son. Come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders jeered at him. "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Isn't he the King of Israel? If he comes down off the cross now, we will believe him. He trusts in God and claims to be God's son. Well then, let us see if God wants to save him now." Even the bandits who had been crucified with him insulted him in the same way. At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?"
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? I wonder if it would have made a difference for David had he known that the God he cried out to had already decided in love to come to this earth to be God with us, by suffering alongside us and for us as a genuine human being for our sakes and for our salvation. I wonder if it would have made a difference for David had he known that God had already decided at the moment of his own greatest suffering in and as Jesus Christ upon the cross, that he would take David's own words from this psalm upon his own lips to express his feelings of utter abandonment and God-forsakenness. I wonder if it would have made a difference for David in the midst of his suffering had he known that God was indeed present with him, listening deeply to every word that David was praying and already deciding, yes, these words of my faithful servant David shall be the words that I also will say when my time to suffer comes. David's words will also speak for me. I know that when my time to suffer comes, that he at least will understand. Human suffering is a great mystery, and the cross of Christ is a great mystery also. How can it be that God should suffer and die? The Bible doesn't really give us an answer to the why of human suffering. But it does invite us to ask the question. Indeed, the Bible permits and invites us in our suffering to pour out our anguish to God and to vent our complaint to God. The Bible doesn't give us a philosophical answer to the question of suffering. Instead, it points us to Jesus Christ. God with us and for us, in and as Jesus Christ, is a fully genuine human being who elects in freedom and in love to suffer alongside us and for us, for our sakes and for our salvation. And so what this means is that yes, we suffer. But what the story of Easter shows us is that in our suffering, we are able to call upon a God who knows our suffering intimately and fully from the inside, because God has also suffered. And when we look past the horror and the God-forsakenness of Crucifixion Friday to the wonder and the joy of Resurrection Sunday, it gives us the hope that although we do suffer, ours is not a never-ending and perpetual Friday of hopeless and irredeemable misery. It gives us hope that by the faithfulness of God, our Resurrection Sunday will come too. Come, Lord Jesus.
Let us pray. God of all love and compassion, we are so grateful that you are not a God who is utterly serene and utterly unhurtable, empty of all desire, empty of love, and impervious to disappointment. We are so grateful that you have come to us to be God with us by suffering alongside us and for us. Sustain us in faith, uphold us in hope, and enfold us in love. Hear us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.